You're listening to episode 41 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, Who's Been Left Behind by Steve Gregg. This article first appeared in the Practical Hermeneutics column of the print edition of the Christian Research Journal, volume 37, number 1, in 2014. The Christian Research Journal Reads podcast presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. To read the full text, along with any footnotes, please go to equip.org. That's EQUIP.org.
Who's Been Left Behind? This article is by Steve Gregg and read by an automated voice. In 1969, the first commercially released, quote, Jesus Rock, unquote, album, Larry Norman's Upon This Rock, featured the apocalyptic anthem, quote, I Wish We'd All Been Ready, unquote, which described the bleak conditions of a world under God's end times judgment. The repeated refrain of this song was haunting and memorable. Quote, there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Unquote. These words clearly referenced the catching up of the church, which, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, is to accompany the resurrection at the second coming of Christ. In the popular dispensational scheme of interpretation, being, quote, left behind, unquote, when the church is, quote, raptured, unquote, means facing the terrors of the Great Tribulation on earth. Since 1969, popular Christian songs, novels, and films have multiplied, speculating about what it will be like for those who have been left behind after the rapture. While the Bible does mention the rapture of the church, there is no actual scriptural reference to being left behind when that occurs. That the tribulation will follow the rapture is a distinctive of dispensationalism. Prior to 1830, the teaching of the church had always been that the resurrection and rapture will occur when Christ returns, unquote, the last day, unquote, John 6:39, 40, 44, and 54, not 7 years prior, lost or merely left. Dispensationalism advances a popular end times viewpoint. It often reads the pre-tribulational rapture into Christ's cryptic prediction, recorded by Matthew and Luke, that a time will come when two people in close proximity to each other, in the same bed, at the same millstone, in the same field, will suddenly experience opposite fates. Quote, one will be taken and the other left. Unquote. Matthew 24:40-41 and Luke 17:34-36. According to Matthew's version, this sudden separation will occur at, quote, the coming of the Son of Man, unquote, Matthew 24:39. Many Christians, in reading these verses, have assumed that the ones, quote, taken, unquote, are the Christians raptured to heaven, while those, quote, left, unquote, are the lost, who missed the rapture. Is this the straightforward meaning of these texts, or would a proper hermeneutical approach yield a different interpretation? Christ's clues. In Matthew 24, the context of the, quote, one taken, other left, unquote, statements is what generally is called the Olivet Discourse, which many evangelicals understand to be describing the last days prior to Christ's return. Though Luke 17 provides a different context, it contains the same information taught by Christ, apparently on a different occasion. There is strong contextual evidence that much of Matthew 24 is not actually about the end of the world or present system of things at all, but about the destruction of Jerusalem in the 1st century AD. Consider verses 1-3 and 34. Most evangelical scholars believe that the latter portion of the chapter, especially after verse 34, refers to events that will occur at the end of the present age. This is debated, as some wish to apply the whole chapter to the first century scenario. Important as this debate may be to our interpretation of the verses under consideration, space will not here allow a detailed survey of the arguments for or against that specific point. I am inclined toward the majority view that the time frame of the unanticipated taking of certain people in our verses is more likely the eschatological scenario than that of the destruction of Jerusalem. The latter was the climax of 3 years of war and a siege of several months. Its fall was hardly sudden or surprising. Those who apply all of Matthew 24 to the AD 70 scenario will disagree with this thesis, but I will proceed on the assumption that the, quote, one taken and the other left, unquote, language refers to a future event, but do these words refer to the rapture of the church or to something else? In the immediate context, Christ referred to the time of Noah's flood, which is to resemble that of, quote, the coming of the Son of Man, unquote, verses 37 to 39. Jesus reminds us that the wicked of Noah's time were oblivious to the imminent disaster that threatened them and continued in the affairs of ordinary life, eating, drinking, getting married, quote, until the flood came and took them all away, unquote. Matthew 24:39. The next verse predicts the one similarly being, quote, taken, unquote, and the other, quote, left, unquote, at Christ's coming. It was the wicked who were, quote, taken away, unquote, in the flood. In fact, in Luke's parallel, the words, quote, took them all away, unquote, are replaced with, quote, destroyed them all, unquote. Luke 17:27. Clearly being, quote, taken, unquote, is the fate of the lost, not the believers. Scripture often uses the word, quote, taken, unquote, to refer to someone's death, for example, Job 24:24 and 34:20, Psalms 10:2 and 59:12, Proverbs 11:6, Isaiah 17:1, Jeremiah 6:11, Ezekiel 21:24, Daniel 11:12, etc. This is the case also of those, quote, taken, unquote, in the flood in Matthew 24:39. This would seem to be the case, likewise, in the verses that follow, in which one person is, quote, taken, unquote, that is, he dies, in judgment, and the other is, quote, left, unquote, that is, left unharmed and remains alive. The Jewish eschatology of the Old Testament did not look for the removal of the righteous from the earth. Rather, God has, quote, given the earth to the children of men, unquote, Psalm 115:16. According to Romans 4:13, God's promise was that Abraham's seed, Christ, would inherit, quote, the world, unquote, not heaven. Psalm 2:8 declares that Christ is to receive, quote, the nations for his inheritance and the ends of the earth for his possession, unquote. According to the Old Testament, the righteous will reign with the Messiah over this planet, but only after the wicked are removed. Quote, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Unquote. Proverbs 2:21-22. Quote, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Unquote. Psalm 37:9-11. The language of this latter psalm is echoed in Jesus' third beatitude, quote, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, unquote, Matthew 5:5. The idea that God would ultimately take away the righteous to a different place and leave the planet to the rebels to destroy and defile was a concept foreign to the Jewish mind. The New Testament does not contradict the Jewish expectation. Christ's disciples will, quote, reign on the earth, unquote, Revelation 5:10. Even Jesus' depiction of two people together, and one being taken in judgment while the other remains untouched, finds a parallel in the Old Testament. Quote, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and see the reward of the wicked. Unquote, Psalm 91:7-8. Jesus' eschatology is thus the same as that revealed in the Old Testament. At the end of the world as we know it, there will be a moment in which, quote, the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unquote, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. Taken in judgment. While few details are given in Scripture, this fiery judgment upon the wicked will destroy them, not rapture them, from the earth's scene, leaving the righteous unscathed to inherit a purged and renewed earth, where, quote, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, and there shall be no more curse. Unquote. Revelation 21:4 and 22:3. It is the wicked who will be taken in judgment, while the righteous are left to enjoy what God has intended for his people since the day he created the Garden of Eden. Though many dispensationalists teach that those quote taken unquote in these verses are the Christians, there are dispensational teachers who agree with the interpretation presented here. John MacArthur expounds on Matthew 24:40-41. Quote, "One will be taken, that is, taken in judgment. This clause does not refer to the catching away of believers." Unquote. Similarly, William MacDonald writes, quote, "One will be swept away by the flood of judgment, the other left to enjoy the blessings of Christ's reign." Unquote. Further confirmation of this thesis is found in Luke 17. In verses 34-36, Jesus repeats three times the ominous, quote, "One will be taken and the other left." Unquote. Unlike Matthew's account, in this case we read of the response of the disciples to this prediction. They naturally asked, quote, "Where, Lord?" Unquote. Verse 37. The concept of saints being removed from the earth and transported to heaven was not part of the Jewish frame of reference, so it did not occur to the disciples to interpret, quote, "taken," unquote, to mean, quote, "taken to heaven," unquote. In fact, they had no idea what Jesus meant by this, so they inquired, quote, "taken where?" unquote. As is so often the case, Jesus' reply was cryptic. Quote, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together," unquote. This may have been a familiar proverb, based upon Job 39:30, where God is speaking about the habits of the eagle, and he tells Job, quote, "Where the slain are, there it is," unquote. If this had become an expression of proverbial wisdom, it may have been roughly equivalent to the modern proverb, quote, "Where there's smoke, there's fire," unquote. What do these words mean in our present context? If we assume reasonably that this was Christ's answer to the disciples' question, then it should tell us where some will be, quote, "taken," unquote. Jesus' proverb that eagles, possibly intending vultures, can reliably be found where corpses are would seem to imply the ominous answer, quote, "They will be corpses. If you want to locate them, you should look for the gathered eagles," unquote. There is, therefore, no exegetical warrant for applying these statements to the rapture of the church.
Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's EQUIP.org.